The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. Rob and Chris join me as always. We are here to talk about Night of Champions. Jumped off last night. By the time we listen to this, it's Monday, but jumped off last night in Saudi Arabia. Wonderful telling my girlfriend, hey, you know, they've been doing the Saudi Arabia shows and women weren't allowed to be on it for a while. It's pretty cool. But we're going to talk about Night of Champions and we're also going to get back into Backlash 2007. Real fun four-way main event there for Cena's title. But let's start with the main event in the cinema. Sorry, Righteous Reg. The cinema that was on display last night. They are starting to hit, I want to say, the nine on the time clock here. So they're about 75% away, or the ways away through here with the circle. And they're playing it pretty well. And to see it play out where Jay is the one frustrated with his brother for not doing what he should have did, and finally being the one to hit on Roman, snap on one. We knew it was going to happen. You know, it was just a matter of it playing out and the matter of the drama of how it played out, and played out wonderfully. The only thing that I would change, Sammy pins Roman. That's the only thing that I would change.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess there's the idea that, you know, whoever pins Roman to win the title should be, like, the first person to pin him or whatever. But
yeah. And to be fair, pinning Roman on the day that he's celebrating 1,000 days as champion is so sad.
I do agree. It would have been cool, though.
Oh, of course, like, it would have been cool.
It would have been kind of like a really full circle thing for Sammy. It was cool that Sammy got to, you know, go, because I know Syria and Saudi Arabia have had, you know, tensions in the past, and have cleared up a little bit, and he got to do a really cool entrance, and you could tell it really meant a lot to him. And I'm just glad they won. You know, it would have been a cool visual, I guess, for Roman and Solo to have the belts. But the way they did it, I think it's kind of the way everyone kind of thought they were going to do it. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, like the Usos get involved and either cost him on purpose or not on purpose. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Roman has the red glove, but he does not have an Infinity Gauntlet. So he did not collect all the titles, despite the fact that it sure seemed like he was
just like the
Age of Ultron post-credit scene where Thanos said that he would do it himself. It seemed like he was going to do it himself. However, this time it didn't work out. I figured that this was going to happen. I know that there were people who were at first concerned that Kevin and Sammy weren't going to even have the titles going into this show because they knew that Sammy doesn't go to Saudi Arabia. And I think that's the thing that the one thing that I'll say about him going there is I think there are probably too many people, you know, who figured he doesn't go, or, you know, he chose not to. He literally couldn't go. He probably would have felt incredibly unwelcome there.
Yeah.
And that was why he didn't go. Kevin most likely didn't go because he just wanted to stand by his friend. Mm. And that's a good honorable deed. So, and, you know, they got through the Usos match. And they figure, okay, well, Roman and Solo could end up winning, I guess, because Roman never loses. But, to a point, I think that there's story building. There's, okay, you know, I get it. You want to have all of the gold. I get that. That's cool. That's fun. But Then there's gratuitous, and I think that to a degree, if they won the titles, I would have understood it just because Roman is an egomaniac, but then you have to figure, okay, how are you going to get them off?
Yeah, well,
so they're not just going to go back to the Usos because and, that would be stupid.
Yeah, and that's kind of the. And that's the thing, like.
You know what? I don't want to be too accusatory. That feels like something that the old regime would have done for the new regime now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think the other thing is, like, you can get away with having Roman, you know, as champion in tag matches. Like, you could do it here, you could do it in London, but I can't see them doing it for SummerSlam. Like,
it's either got to be
Roman and Cody again, or, like, if you're going to do Roman and Jimmy or whatever, I'd just do Roman and Cody. But, you know, like, you can get away with that for these shows where... That'd be good, too.
Very true.
Yeah. But yeah, I just, you know, for something like SummerSlam, you can't have him in a tag match, I don't think, even with two belts now.
No, because it's not, this isn't a situation where it's like, you know, the SummerSlam 91, the match made in hell, where the tag match is the main event, the title, the WWE champion.
Yeah.
Roman is too big game, and people not only want to see the bloodline, they want to see Roman defend the title.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, I know people are like, oh, again, why does there have to be a run-in? It's that. Well, because they play the hits.
Yeah.
It's why John Cena's matches went the way that they did.
I mean,
all the run-ins in the 90s and the early
2000s. Well, we saw it with Triple H when Evolution was still a thing, too. Yeah. Like, there'd be a ref bump every match, and he'd hit Earl Hebner, and they'd come out and help him. And, I mean, it's a similar formula.
That's his thing. That's his thing for his title matches. And to his credit, they've made it work, because every time you're expecting something.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the whole allure and the grand deal. That's why, you know, when people are like, I wish this was just a proper match. Okay, that sounds kind of boring.
I mean, there are probably too many ref bumps. There's too many ref bumps in wrestling in general, though. So, like, you know, what are you going to do?
We grew up on an ideal where this happened, like, every freaking week.
Exactly.
I'm used to it. I don't really mind it.
It doesn't bother me a lot,
Yeah.
As long as there's some, like, thinking behind it, then...
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't overbook everything all the time, obviously. Yeah. But if you have chicanery, and you have a reason for the chicanery, by all means,
this was the next progressive step forward in the feud, you know, being how things have been progressing as of late, and I froze on Friday night when Jimmy said, I am the tribal chief. Perfect delivery from Jimmy, and he made it seem like he believed that shit. And we talked about it throughout the whole storyline, and you know why it took me really a very long time to come around and see the entire thing in the fuller picture, because you know they played it where Jay was the bitch and Jay was submissive, and Roman turned Jay into his and made him subservient. Jimmy was never willing to be that, but he was willing to do what he needed to do for the family. But he never showed that kind of blind loyalty, you know, to Roman. If you punking me out, stand up. And to come around to where, you know, Jay's had all the character development in the world over the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, and he's sitting there where he is. Jay's always been who he is and has never shied away from that. And I've always loved that about his particular side in this story. And now that opens up so many more possibilities for what they can do, because now Jimmy might be treading towards, you know, main event status in all of this. Jay has been, we know Roman is, and Solo's going to get hit at the same time, but Jimmy was always kind of the one that we looked at and be like, oh, yeah, no, he's a nice little third hand or fourth hand in this. Nah, he's making a claim for, you know, having a main event match with Roman too and all this. So, you know, it's the natural step forward in this. Like, I don't think we should worry about a serious challenger outside of Cody until we get to the Rumble season. You know, right now we're riding the wave. You know, we're riding the wave of entertainment and you know, let's see what shakes out. Because I don't see anybody outside of the bloodline sphere as it stands as a threat to Roman right now, do you?
No, not really. Like, I mean, you know, you could do an AJ match just because they've never done it. You could do Lashley match because they've never done it. But I don't think either of them I don't think either of them are can be built up even to think like, oh, they're serious contenders. Just
He just won the new World Heavyweight Championship yesterday.
Yeah, but he's got that title now, and he already
he does. But he's not going to hold that forever.
No, I know.
He's not going to be champion forever.
He already had his match, though, and it's you know he's on the other show now, and that title's for Raw. And...
Yes, I agree. But you have to keep in mind he's the only guy who hasn't technically lost to Roman Reigns on this show.
Yeah. No, you're not
it's
wrong.
Not been pinned
I just
or made to
again. I would probably just put the money in the bank on Cody and have him cash in immediately when he wins it, and set your main event for SummerSlam, and just have Cody win there. I don't really see how it's going to get to WrestleMania.
Yeah, but okay, but if Cody wins, what next?
Yeah, plenty of heels on. He'd be up SmackDown, okay, obviously. That, but you got plenty of.
But that doesn't answer my question. What's next? Because you have to figure out what's next for Roman. What's next for the Usos? What's next for Solo? This whole thing has to end before it has to before you know we move on to the next chapter.
Oh no, for sure.
Whenever they deem that to be over is when it's over.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Even I don't think that even as they're you know disseminating here, I don't necessarily think that it's going to be kaput by SummerSlam and everything's going to be done.
This does all feel, and I know you don't agree with this, but it does all feel like something that you could have done everything that they've done so far if Cody did win at WrestleMania.
No, because he would have been overshadowed anyway in this match.
That's
Cody
fair.
And Brock would have been overshadowed regardless because Roman is the hottest wrestler on Earth.
That's fair.
And this angle is the hottest wrestling angle on Earth.
Yeah, I agree. It wouldn't have had the same gravitas if Roman wasn't
yeah.
the champ.
I think it's tough because, like I said, this whole thing has to be squared away.
Well, I think,
and whenever you decide that, we'll know. I just don't think it's in 2 months.
I just think if Cody won at Mania, you'd have Roman probably not be around for a while. And then do the big tag at SummerSlam.
Wouldn't have any of this.
No, it's true.
Wouldn't be able to use Brock in the fashion of VR.
Well, like. I mean,
you could, but you couldn't. But, yeah. And again, it would have just been overshadowed, and everything would have just that feels like too much of a okay. That ended, but then the traditional WWE, oh, they're just going to disappear and act like nothing happened.
That's fair. Well, we'll see what happens. It does seem like, at least from how much he's been tweeting, that they might be bringing Rikishi in for something. Probably not a match, but he'll show up and. Of Roman and Solo beat him down, I think, and that would really add a lot for Solo in particular if he does that.
Yes.
And just add a lot to the feud. So, yeah, no, I love the match. Really great stuff. You know, Kevin and Sammy continue just this incredible run they've been on, and it was awesome.
It was very good, and they'll be doing the 1,000th day celebration on Friday in Wilkes-Barre. Mm-hmm. I will be there. It will be a very fun time. I can't wait to see what comes out of this past Saturday. That was insane. That was the main event because the opener was the finals for the World Heavyweight Championship. And as we all predicted, Seth freaking Rollins is your, first, next new World Heavyweight Championship. They still haven't really acknowledged the lineage of it, but I guess it doesn't matter. First time Seth's held a major title since he got fiended.
Yeah, hopefully it goes better.
Hopefully it goes a lot better, and I think the character is what's going to make this run better.
Yeah.
Not having to be the smiling top baby face in a sea of shitty heels, he should have a much better run, I
believe. Yeah, that's really the thing. Like, his reign kind of had no chance because he's working Corbin and, The Fiend. The Styles and Brock matches were good, and, when they put him against good opponents, it worked, but... he doesn't have to worry about that now. There's plenty of heels on Raw. I know they did Seth and Finn as the tournament final, but that'd be a really good first feud. Seth and Cody looms eventually if you want to go back to it, maybe.
You don't need to do it now, but you can do that eventually. I mean, actually.
Gunther, if he's not the U.S. champion Intercontinental champion anymore, Drew McIntyre, if he shows up to work. Yeah, Raw's got heels, man. And,
personally, I think that the lineage here is. Probably going to end up being Seth going to Gunther.
Yeah.
But that's also because mostly in my head, I've had this idea where in November, they put 5 big heavies against Seth, Cody, Usos, and a fifth of your choice in War Games.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's no surprise to that regard that I think that, Imperium has been working with Game, and I think that's going to be something. But Seth is going to be a good champion. Here's my thing. I have a question for both of you, because I think that this is where this is going to go, and I think that people might groan in this room. They're going to probably do an open challenge for the World Heavyweight title, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, somewhere along the lines of the Money in the Bank. You know Seth is going to pitch that, because he's a working edge champion. Who would you put in his first title defense?
Probably not. I know I just said Finn, but that would probably be more of a feud.
Yes, that's a feud. This first defense, say it's on TV, because Seth wants to prove that he's a fighting champion. He's going to take on anybody. Who answers that?
Gotta be Chad Gable, right?
Omos.
No, Omos, yeah.
Omos would be good.
That's one.
Gable would be a great choice.
Omos is funny, though, because you could maybe do that on a pay-per-view, really, if you wanted. Like one of the, you know, not SummerSlam or whatever, but one of the ones after that.
You could.
Omos is in my War Games idea, by the way.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you could do that at a pay-per-view, but you already just did it at a pay-per-view. So I think if you want to get a first challenge out of the way,
that's
someone
true.
That's been recent for Seth that, you know, can be a main event on a Raw. Mm-hmm. You know, that, I think that'd be a worthy.
But yeah, a nice little obstacle for him to overcome.
Honestly, like, even a guy like Ziggler, they had good matches before. The one Iron Man match is unfortunate.
It is.
Not good.
Yeah.
But they had that other match. It was really good.
With SummerSlam.
Yeah, SummerSlam.
So,
one more Ambrose came back.
I mean, even a guy like Miz, like, I know people are down on Miz, but. Seth's at the point where he can just get good matches out of people, too. Like, for he's not for me, the in-ring stuff has never been a problem.
Even, I don't know if he's been fully introduced yet. Sorry, I've been sort of dozing off during Raw. Gargano would be a good way to introduce him off the bench.
No, absolutely.
Off the bench, get him working with Seth. I'm sure Seth wants to work him. I'm sure Gargano wants to work Seth.
Yeah, and now... I mean, especially, you know, they were already going to have some trouble because it's Memorial Day, but it's Memorial Day and a Game 7, so you might want to put up an open challenge for Seth to get people to tune in because you know, we don't care about the ratings, but Raw's going to be rough this week.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, holiday. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the match itself was very good. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, AJ might not have it anymore, but then he puts off one of these matches, and he still does. You know, he doesn't have it all the time. He's 45, and he's been wrestling for 25 years, basically on weekly television, so you add up how many matches it's been. It's kind of crazy, but, like, you know, it was great, and I think that was the best possible match I could have had. You know, I thought about maybe doing Seth and Lashley, even though they had done that a lot in the fall, but I think this was better than that would have been, and really a good, memorable match for this title that, you know, it's all going to be perception. Like, if we all treat it like, oh, this is the participation trophy title for Seth or whatever, then that's what it's going to be. But if you don't treat it like that, then, you know, it could really be something cool.
Mm-hmm. The loss for AJ also stamped that I think he should be getting a WWE title match.
Yes,
I think so.
He should.
So.
There's a long list of guys that are now on SmackDown that Roman hasn't worked with in a really long time. Mm-hmm. AJ and Lashley being the two main ones, those should be, you know, in line once kind of the Bloodline storyline clears up, which I think will happen after SummerSlam. I think this is as soon as we should probably see that. The third main event was Brock and Cody, and a good little 7-10 minute sprint, which is always what you want to see out of Brock, but working the arm angle, broken arm, quote unquote. Finally, Cody just couldn't hang and lost the match, passed out. But again, another match where you're progressing to the end, and it's definitely not going to end 2-0 Cody. Honestly, I wouldn't even have, you know, Cody and Brock wrestle in the UK, mainly because I can't see them not doing that on the continental US. It would be a fucking shame if they do it and it's in Puerto Rico, Saudi Arabia, UK. Me personally, I'd rather have Brock in the Money in the Bank because that's the only way he can win a title, I guess, or just facing off against Seth at Money in the Bank. Cody costs it and we run it at SummerSlam. And that's the extension of the feud here. And Cody can rest up that broken arm.
Yeah. I agree. I would maybe, if you're going to do it at Money in the Bank, have it be, you know, the winner gets the last spot in the ladder match. And then, but that's only if you're going to do Cody and Roman at SummerSlam. I don't really see a point of putting Money in the Bank on Cody if you're not doing it at SummerSlam. Because, you could do it at WrestleMania, but, like, there's plenty of ways to get to Cody versus Roman at WrestleMania again without Money in the Bank. But yeah, it would be, because it's hard to imagine what Brock's doing at SummerSlam if it's not a third Cody match too. Like,
that's the thing also.
There's some guys he could face. He could face Gunther, but he still got the Intercontinental title, and that's not going to, at this point, yeah, he might as well. You could do like Brock Sheamus, but it'd be a good match, but they have really no history except the two house show matches, but who knows about that? Yeah. Well, Brock's free agent, but I mean, so it's like, and Brock's going to be at SummerSlam. He's not booked right now, at least as far as like the poster, the, you know, event page for Money in the Bank, but he is for SummerSlam. So,
correct.
You know, maybe they'll extend it to there. I really don't know. Like, they obviously need a third match, but yeah, I mean, you almost have to do it at SummerSlam, even though I would do Cody and Roman there, but you know, it's a match worthy of a stadium. You finally give it a stipulation and, yeah, it was a good match, though. I think I liked the first one a little bit more. This one, you know, they did the two extended Kimura spots, and it was like, well, we already saw it the first time, and they just locked it back in. And I liked the finish with Cody passing out, but yeah, the match was fine. Like, I'm looking forward to the third one when they finally do a stipulation.
You know, I will say that I think there's a few possibilities here to set up a match, either at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam. If they're going to do Money in the Bank, then they need something for Brock at SummerSlam. I'm not sure what that is, unless they dared to do Seth Brock again, which I don't think they will.
Mm-hmm.
But they could. Possibility. Can't rule it out because it's Brock. He will be fighting for a title. It would make a lot of sense.
They had a good match at SummerSlam 2019.
They did. They had a very good match at SummerSlam 2019. That is correct. So, you said Cody winning and patching in at SummerSlam is the only way it would work for you. I would only disagree because I think that this is something I'm going to reference when we talk about the big title switch that happened at Night of Champions as well. I would prefer it, even if it does make sense, if they did drag it out a little bit. Because what's the thing that we've been talking about with the Money in the Bank briefcases? They win them, and then within a month, all both of them are flash and gone.
Not usually with the men, but...
Well, yeah, but we know, we look at what happened with Theory last year. And then look what happened with Strowman in 2018. And all the other, nonsense
things that happened. I think the thing with Theory is there was a, you know, regime change too. Like,
yeah, but they were... But
I never thought he would actually win the title. And I think having Money in the Bank on a guy that's not going to win makes no sense.
But that's part of my point here also is that they need to put on somebody who makes sense. And also, I would just personally not mind it if they took it and ran with it for a little bit.
Right. The whole problem with Theory for me wasn't the fact that I never saw him winning the championship. It's the fact that they did it too fucking early. They gave up on it too early. You could have let it run out. He would have had a prop to work with. He would have had something character wise to work with. They gave up on it way earlier than they should have.
Well, because they did the thing where, you know, he'd try and cash in, and then either Brock or Roman or Tyson Fury would just make him look like a bitch. And then it's just like, you can't do that every match. And they kind of ran out of ideas, which is a problem with the concept in general at this point.
I think there's so many things that you can still do with it that they haven't done.
Yeah.
They've only had one time where they've actually feuded over the case, as far as I can. Two times, actually, I'm sorry. With Edge and Hardy, and then also with Shelton and RVD. They haven't done a feud over the case. They haven't done a match for the case at all in that regard. Frankly, I don't know why the person with the case isn't the most targeted man or woman on the roster.
No, that's fair.
They literally have a guaranteed title shot on their hands. I don't understand why people talk about the 24/7 title, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's about the hardcore title back then. Why isn't that treated like that? The briefcase should be treated as a literal golden ticket, right? So why is the person who holds the golden ticket the only person who is affected by this? Nobody else looks at it and says, oh, I want that.
Yeah.
You should.
No, you're not wrong.
They should make a thing out of that.
Mm-hmm.
For when Cody gets it, he should be the most targeted man on the roster.
Yeah.
Because he has a shot at either title.
They're doing Money in the Bank qualifying matches on TV this year, too. So that'll be fun.
Lacey versus Zelina is one of them for SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And Montez versus LA Knight is also.
That'd be good. I haven't seen anyone for Raw yet, but I know they're planning to do some for Raw. But yeah. Yeah, it should be interesting. It should be a real interesting summer for them. Because if you ask someone, what's the SummerSlam card right now, I don't know how many matches you could really name.
Oh, I can't.
No. You know, the Raw women's title is different now because, you know, they had a title change, which we'll get into in a minute. You know, the SmackDown women's title hasn't really gotten a real feud yet. Rhea's just kind of running through
people.
It's
also on Raw still.
Yeah, which they seem to not. I don't know if they're going to do new belts or just not ever acknowledge it, which
Here's the transition into the Raw and title match. I said right before the match, you know what? I'm not mad if Bianca drops a title if this leads to the title switch. Yeah. So the fact that Asuka's now the Raw Women's Championship, I hope that's a necessary change to a reason for a title switch.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, but I think the only issue there is you have to trade.
That's fine. Do the trade.
I think that only makes it a little more difficult on SmackDown because then you almost have to run Rhea Bianca immediately, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but if Rhea has the Raw title, then why would she have to face Bianca?
You could just do the title switch now that Bianca doesn't have this long reign.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, you could just do it now because the reign is over. That does make sense.
That was my thinking.
Stupid compromise.
Yeah. Okay. Now I get what you're saying. I thought you meant like they should like.
No. I looked at it as like if the whole point of it was they don't want Bianca's title to reign to end by her just switching titles again. This was the reason for it. Okay. Now Asuka gets, I guess, an extra title reign for just, you know, being around, and it's also a pad for Rhea. So, you know, Bianca don't really, and here's the thing on the match. Excellent end to the match. Yes. Fucking fantastic into the match. Brilliant. I don't think they've done it before. Nope. And it's not even something you think about, which is like, oh, I'm going to spit the mist into my hand and then blind my opponent. It doesn't make Bianca look weak at all. It makes you more sympathetic for her. This was the way the ending had to come. Asuka is champion now. We know what Asuka can do. Now she's even more lethal because she's finding ways to use the mist outside of just spraying it to defeat the opponents. You know, we know how great she is. I still don't even know if I would call her a heel. She's just there. She exists, and she's awesome. That was a good match and a great finish.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, like, I thought the match, it took a little bit to get going, but once it did, it was very good, and I thought that was the same with their Mania match. And it kind of feels like, you know, Bianca was, like, showing aggression and not really listening to the ref. I don't know if they're going to turn her heel, but they also don't have a ton of, like, you know, baby faces on SmackDown in the women's division. Plus, it's kind of like the Cena thing at this point where she can probably just not be heel.
Yeah, the reason that Bianca was pissed off is because Asuka keeps disrespecting her with a miss.
Yeah.
She made that clear before the match, in that promo or whatever, that, you know, she's mad that she keeps using the miss. Bianca got flustered, and it was rare because you don't see that out of her.
Yeah.
Asuka drew that out of her, and it worked for her because she wound up winning.
Yep.
And I think that this, you know, as I was watching the match, you pointed out that it took a while to get going. It's very true. As I was watching it, I don't want to say that I was dealing with quote-unquote Bianca fatigue like everyone else, you know, says or likes to make up now or whatnot because we're repeating history with Bert and John Cena. But my thought was pretty much just like, okay, if Bianca wins this, then what?
Yeah.
Because it felt like it was inevitable that she would face Charlotte in the summer. And then even then, it would be, okay, then what?
Yeah.
Like, were we about to just deal with another Charlotte title reign?
Yeah.
We could. That's still possible. And you can't rule it out with anything with Charlotte. But I think that Asuka winning sets up some interesting routes for the summer, especially considering I could see Asuka facing Io for the title at some point soon.
That would be rad. I think, yeah, eventually Charlotte will get the belt back on her, and I think the right place to do that match, WrestleMania, why would you do that anywhere else? So, like, you know, that's where eventually she leaves. Bianca trying to regain straps will take her a minute because she doesn't need it right now. What I think is interesting on the SmackDown side is with Asuka now having the championship, the door's open for a lot of other women, not just Bianca. I saw the match you're doing on Friday for the Money in the Bank, and it's Zelina and Lacey Evans. I don't think we've seen Lacey Evans. God, I don't know when the last time we saw Lacey Evans was.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
Not saying that like she should be next, but she's clearly someone that they just refuse to give up on. You know, Zelina obviously got her shot last month with Rhea, with great hand that they can use. They got a girl like Shotzi. You know, SmackDown has some women that now have a door open that they can step up and prove that they can want it. Like you see it, Io's perfect. Dakota's perfect. You know, let's see what else they got. Bailey, Bayley ain't held a championship for fucking forever. So, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's too bad for Dakota because she tore her ACL.
I did not see that. Was it at a house show?
No, because it was during the tag title match that Bayley and Dakota wrestled Liv and Raquel, and then Liv also got hurt.
Yeah, I heard Liv got hurt, and Liv's going to be out for a minute. I didn't hear Dakota tore her.
What happened apparently was that she knew Liv was hurt, and she had kind of stepped in or when there was a spot to help her, but she tore her ACL while trying to help her.
Oh, bro.
Super unfortunate.
Two birds, one stone.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. Liv, so Liv's going to be out just like a month or two, right?
It's not. Liv might be out for a while because they said that she might have torn her rotator cuff.
Yeah, there hasn't really been a definitive thing on
her. There hasn't really been a lot of definitive things on her, but they, I think I read that she's going to be out for at least through the summer. Hopefully it's a quick recovery for her, because I think either two spots are good for her to come back in, because she's going to want to. If she's back in time before November, you should put her in War Games.
Mm-hmm.
If she's back in time for January, put her in the room.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. And I think just kind of somewhat related to that, you do Rhea and Raquel at Money in the Bank now. It's a good challenge for Rhea. They had a good match in NXT.
Put Raquel in the Money in the Bank match? You know what? You know what they should do? And I'm very serious about this. They're probably not going to do it, but think about, I don't know what her character is right now. They're going to London. Think about Tegan Knox.
Yeah, maybe.
There's a mystery there.
Yeah.
Because in the matches that she kept tearing her knee in.
You got a few weeks, so yeah, maybe. You can work it out.
Got some things to work out. I mean, there's plenty of potential people. I mean, I think the thing with Raquel is that she's still in the tag.
Mm-hmm.
The term shots you're wrestling tomorrow.
That's fair.
In a tag title match, which I think Rodney and Shane
are winning that one.
Yeah, I would imagine.
No question about it. I would put that in just an absolute stone cold bar. But yeah, I mean, that was Night of Champions.
Yeah, good show.
Let's go back to 2007.
Yeah, we got a lot to get into here. We still have Backlash. We have all kinds of stuff. So let's get into the top five songs. Down to number five, Sweet Escape. Staying at four, Glamorous. Up to number three, Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne. And staying at two is Don't Matter by Akon. Staying at one is Give It to Me by Timbaland. Top five movies. Down to five is Meet the Robinsons. Down to four is Blades of Glory. Debuting at three is Vacancy. Debuting at two is Fracture. And staying at number one is Disturbia.
Vacancy.
Yeah. Well, me neither. We have news which will impact Raw. Randy Orton was sent home from the European tour for basically being mid-2000s Randy Orton at this point. And that is why John Cena and Shawn Michaels have what is one of the most famous Raw matches of all time. One of the best Raw matches of all time. They go 56 minutes. Cena beats Shawn, non-title match. Got 4.25 stars in the Observer when that was still a big thing. Yeah. And, you know, I hadn't seen this in a while, and I was watching it. And the first half, it's like, well, you know, I know how long it's going to go, so maybe that spoils it for me, but it's kind of slow. Then once you get to, like, the 30-minute mark, they just kind of trade bombs the whole time, and it's awesome. Like, it lives up to the hype. It's, I don't know if it's top five Raw match ever. It's definitely in the top 10.
Yeah.
But yeah, really just an incredible match. If you've never seen it, they've uploaded it on YouTube, I believe, at this point. You could just go out of your way to watch that. It was awesome, and it really, it's really a shame, you know, not to spoil anything, that we're going from John Cena and Shawn Michaels to John Cena and the Great Khali.
Yep.
Because, you know.
We're going from John Cena and Shawn Michaels, one of the greatest Raw matches of all time, to the greatest Fatal 4-Way match of all time.
Yep.
And Backlash to the Great Khali.
Yeah.
They had no self-awareness in this day and age. And I mean, like, yeah, given the things that happened in 2007, it's not a shock that WWE lacked a little self-awareness. But
that's true.
You know, having some of the best on the roster, and I guess, you know, Randy kind of delayed his own.
Yeah, because he could have done Cena and Randy, but he, you know.
They eventually do Cena and Randy.
Right, well, I know. But it's delayed until the summer.
Later on in the year.
Right.
But to be fair, they build up Orton like a motherfucker in this.
Yeah. No, that's true. And I mean, I guess
he faces Dusty in a few months.
He does. Like, I guess Raw doesn't have a ton of top guys. You don't want to do Cena and Edge again, because obviously, you know, that's all going to change. Well,
no, I guess they could have done still in ECW. I mean, they could have done, I was going to say, they could have done Cena and Marvin.
Yeah, he's in the original versus New Breed thing. So there's not really a guy for Cena, but he still makes it work. I haven't watched Judgment Day yet, but everyone says that that match is actually good. So we'll see.
I mean,
it just, yeah.
I don't remember it being good.
But yeah, that was really the highlight from the Raw in London. That's kind of the highlight from that whole week, besides Backlash. It was also the 2007 NFL draft that week.
Wow.
It's an all-time draft.
For not for the Raiders, but for everybody else that picked after.
Yes.
Yeah, because what do we have? We have four Hall of Famers in the top 11. I mean, Patrick Willis isn't in yet, but Adrian Peterson's not in yet, but like
Johnson's in. Joe Thomas should get in.
Revis is in.
Revis will be. Marshawn Lynch probably won't be, but still.
Pardon, I forgot Joe Thomas. He's in. He just haven't been inducted yet. He'll be inducted this summer. Laron Landry was good for a while. Adrian Peterson will get in. Patrick Willis will get in. Marshawn Lynch is like a borderline, but incredible. Darrell Revis will get in. There's some pro bowlers in this.
Yeah, you look at guys like Lawrence Timmons had a nice career.
Joe Staley, you could have drafted Joe Staley, but after third leg Greg, you could have drafted third leg Greg. Eric Weddle, Zach Miller. I can't believe Zach Miller was a second round pick.
That was crazy.
Sidney Rice.
Lamar Woodley. The other Steve Smith. Ryan Khalil. Yeah, there's some players. Marshall Yanda played for a while. I think he played 12 seasons in the league, was a third round pick. Like there were some guys in this draft. I don't want to go like 2-2-2 down and like, you know, lose my shit, but and like it's not like Jamarcus Russell probably wasn't the top quarterback in the beforehand. It's just now you look back on that in hindsight, like, wouldn't you like to have a Calvin Johnson who could catch all the bullshit passes that Jamarcus throw? Then it's not like they traded Moss. That's right. They traded Moss that got him in this predicament.
Yeah.
So not only did you draft Jamarcus Russell, he had nobody to throw to.
No, and I think the problem is, like, if you're sold on taking a quarterback in this draft, that's the last thing that you wanted because it's Russell and Brady Quinn who fell.
Kevin Cobb
was drafted 36.
John Beck, Drew Stanton, who actually I think of the top four
lasted the longest.
Drew Stanton played the longest.
He was also probably like 28 when he got drafted, so just crazy too. But yeah, no, great draft. Just wanted to touch on that. Now we can get into Backlash 2007, which
from the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. Yeah. So we open with the Hardys against Cade Murdoch, which you wouldn't expect to be very good, but they kind of run like a classic Southern tag. You know, Cade Murdoch cut off the ring and might have been their best match of the team. You know, the Hardys retain. I would have rather seen probably the Hardys against like Haas and Benjamin, but I thought this was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's interesting with the Hardys at this point because it feels like they probably shouldn't be a team anymore, but they are out of convenience, but they both have bigger things coming soon. I was gonna say
Cade and Murdoch wasn't a half bag tag team.
No, they really weren't. Like, you know, really good like mid card heel tag team that you could just kind of throw on, and they could both work.
They didn't really get an opportunity in 05.
No,
from what I remember, and it took like this 07 run to kind of click a little bit, and it's just unfortunate it didn't work out. You know, and obviously unfortunate what happened to Lance Cade.
Yeah,
but there was some promise there for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Melina defeats Mickey, which, you know, also not a very bad match. They both worked hard for, you know, a women's match in 2007. It was really good. And things are kind of slowly starting to turn around for the women. You know, we talked about no more bra and panties matches, which wasn't necessarily an edict at the time. But based on things that will happen in the next couple months, causes the product to change a little bit. We get Vince in the do-rag for the first time. Iconic moment there. MVP against Chris Benoit for the U.S. title once again. Benoit hits like 10 different German suplexes in this match, which was impressive because you didn't have Brock doing that every match at this point yet. MVP rolls over, gets the knees up on the diving headbutt, appears to get the upper hand, but Benoit is able to counter, get a small package, and retains the title. So Chris Benoit, big win in his hometown of Atlanta.
Apart from everything here, obviously the unsavoriness of Benoit, I don't understand MVP losing in back-to-back defenses.
Yeah,
no, it took the third one for him to finally win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
he had to upward climb against a guy that should have been putting him over.
Yeah, exactly. Like I don't understand. Because he actually does put him over. I just don't understand why they had to wait.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense, because it feels like the way that they brought MVP in, he was getting the Power Ranger chance, and then him losing early on didn't really help.
Yeah.
It's like they had to make him like quote unquote page dude or whatever.
Yeah, well, let's just look at him now.
He's great. I love him. He's eventually going to win the US title and have one of the longest reigns ever with it.
Yeah.
But it's like, you didn't need to take this long. I can understand losing a mate. He doesn't need to lose again at that.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have him do that, have the finish be contested.
That's fair. Cena's with Todd Grisham.
He who laughs, laughs, laughs.
Exactly.
This is true.
Todd wants to know what Cena's strategy is tonight, but before he can answer, Orton shows up, says they should work together. They have a lot in common. Randy actually makes some good points, and John just makes a bunch of gay jokes because it's 2007.
Yes, yep. It is. And then Orton makes another one.
Yeah. Vince and Shane and Umaga defeat Lashley for the ECW Championship, so one of them is the ECW Champion now. I'll let you guess which one. Then we get Batista and The Undertaker, last man standing match for the World Heavyweight Championship, which I've talked about quite a bit. It's a great match. I like it as much as the WrestleMania match. You know, they use the steps, they use the announce table, they just kind of throw bombs at each other, and finish comes when... Yeah.
I'm sorry, I tweet. I thought the last man standing was Survivor Series. That was Hell in a Cell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Batista spears Undertaker off the stage, and then part of the set falls down on them, and they both can't answer the 10 count, so we have a draw. But, some bad news, Undertaker has a torn bicep, and... he had it going into the match. That's why they did a draw. But it has gotten worse since WrestleMania, and he's going to need to take some time off. So,
and the thinking for Batista not winning here was what?
That's a good question. I guess they didn't want Undertaker to lose his first defense. And then once they finally do the title switch, you know, which we'll talk about a little bit, you know, Batista has to chase because otherwise they don't have any top guys left on SmackDown because they lose two of them in 5 days?
I was going to say, because Dave doesn't get hurt until sometime in the summer, right?
He works Edge at Judgment Day. I think he works SummerSlam as well.
Or he's still wrestling through. I couldn't remember. No, that's right. He's wrestling through because he's in that little five-way with Cena for the title. So he's wrestling through the summer. There's no reason why he shouldn't. Yeah. There's no reason why he shouldn't have won it.
I don't know.
No, Batista isn't in the five-way with Cena. It's Cena, Lashley, Foley, Booker, and Orton.
Yeah, Batista.
Oh, I thought he would have been in it.
Edge, I think.
He must have been challenging Edge then.
Yeah.
Okay. So Edge was just holding the belt until then he got hurt, and then Khali won it for no fucking reason.
The big year for Great Khali.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to figure out like how all of these things could have been avoided. And maybe Batista just winning at Backlash, maybe it would have been the way.
Well, there's a lot of things in 2007 that could have been avoided by people not getting injured or committing crimes or
getting doing steroids.
Because I don't think the steroid raid happens if the Benoit stuff doesn't happen.
Nah.
So, you know. And that cost him like 10 top guys for 2 months because they had to make a statement. And, you know, can't have a bunch of guys on steroids, even though it's wrestling, which I get. Back to Backlash. We move to the main event. Edge versus Randy Orton versus Shawn Michaels versus John Cena. Fatal 4-Way for the WWE Championship. And really just excellent stuff. You know, Edge and Orton start working together, but then Michaels does the moonsault from the top to the floor on them. Cena does a double leg drop from the top rope on Edge and Shawn. Edge and Orton have Shawn and Boston Crab, and Cena does a double throwback on them, which really wasn't a move he was doing anymore at that time.
No, he wasn't. He had not. I don't think he'd done the throwback since what?
It's like a U.S. title Cena move.
Yeah, like 03, like maybe a little bit 04. He kind of put that in his back pocket when he started working as the main guy. But he hadn't done the throwback in a long time, and that was a great way to bust it
out. Yeah. Cena goes for the FU on Edge, but Orton hits the RKO on Shawn, and Cena has to put Edge down to break up the pin. Edge spears Orton, Cena FUs Edge, Michael sweet chin music Cena, but Cena falls on Orton and gets the win. Great stuff. Just, you know, sometimes you get the multi-man matches where guys just lay out. Really, all four were active for the entire 15 minutes or whatever here, and yeah, just awesome stuff. Great finish, very unique, and,
It was, like I said, it was a callback to the one finish from the other couple. The other few weeks ago, where you know Cena then laid out or whatever, and they went for the pin.
Yeah,
same idea.
You also believe that any guy could win.
Yeah, which and, the thing with that is it's a good, because after this, everything changes. Edge goes to SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Michaels goes away for a while.
He does.
Orton, you know, he goes down the path of being, you know, is the heel and Cena is still the champion. But they kind of everyone separates after being around each other for the last, like, 5 months. And this is an entire, this puts a bow on basically the Raw main event scene for the last, like, 3 months. And did an excellent job. I mean, this match is one of my favorites of all time. It's my favorite Fatal 4-Way ever. I think it's the best Fatal 4-Way ever as well. I think the only two that come to mind that could challenge it realistically are the Four Horsemen Fatal 4-Way and also that one at Extreme Rules 2016 with Miz,
yeah,
Cesaro, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn, the Icing Title.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you sent me a link to this match like before the network was even a thing.
Yes, I've been talking about this match for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, this match is good as fuck.
Back to back years where they've done an excellent multi man match at Backlash.
And,
you know, just swapped out Triple H and added Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels to this, and it was excellent. So yeah, kudos to those guys. And it's probably the last good main event title match we'll have, maybe until SummerSlam or Survivor Series.
Yeah,
SummerSlam. The first Cena Orton match.
It's decent.
It's great. I love it.
I guess I gotta watch it back. That SummerSlam 07, I was away at like pre high school. It's fucking stupid, fucking Christian school. We went to camp. So I missed that SummerSlam. I gotta go watch that back in full once we get to that point, and maybe I'll enjoy it a lot more than back in the day. But like for me, it's like we're getting until SummerSlam before we're getting like really quality, like goodness out of the main event match. Because we got two really good championship matches on that card. We'll be getting a lot of great Kali over the next couple months, so can't wait.
All right, let's get into May real quick here as we try and get a little more caught up. Top five songs, up to number five, Buy You a Drink by T-Pain, staying at fourth, Glamorous, down to three is Don't Matter, down to two is Give It to Me, and at number one is Girlfriend by Avril Lavigne, which is not a good song, but, you know, what are you going to do? Top five movies, down to five is Blades of Glory, down to four is Fracture, debuting at number three is Next, debuting at number two is The Invisible, and staying at number one is Disturbia.
Still making a ton of money.
Yeah.
Vince was backstage with them for the ECW title to start off Raw, which is from Nashville. He approached Cena and called himself the King of Extreme. Cena said, unless ECW stands for extremely crazy white guy, all he's seen is a stooge and a do-rag. John came up and said Cena beat him, but it's better to be lucky than good. He wants a rematch. Vince said that they can have a non-title match tonight, and if Shawn wins, he gets a title match next week. We're probably getting shenanigans. Then we start off with Edge versus Randy Orton, which was supposed to happen last week, because Cena and Shawn wrestled for as long as they did. They did not.
Yeah, that's what they say, but you know.
But I think that's a good sell, because it makes it seem like, oh, Cena and Michaels literally interrupted the show. This is a great match in the standard.
Yeah, this match is awesome.
This is a great Edge and Orton match.
Yeah, really, probably one of their best matches.
Yeah.
I liked the, you know, cinematic whatever match they did at Backlash a couple years ago. I know it was kind of pieced together, but this one's very good. I didn't remember it. You know, Edge does the apron spear on Randy, and Randy goes all the way over the announce table, which was awesome. You know, Randy was bleeding as well, and yeah, just a really good match, and Edge, you know, picked the win, and yeah, good stuff. Santino is interviewed for the first time. It's been a dream come true. Next week, he'll defend the title for the first time. Edge is mad that Shawn Michaels gets another title shot, which not exactly what's happening. He has to win, and then he gets another title shot, but, you know. Johnny Nitro is in action against Jeff Hardy. Caden Murdock are on commentary. They got beat fair and square at Backlash, but they'll be back. Jeff wins, and Caden Murdock want to go shake his hand, but he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't trust them.
Smart.
Yeah.
You get Umaga versus Rob Van Dam. Lashley's visiting Dr. James Andrews because his shoulder and rotator cuff might be messed up.
Not great.
Jerry Lawler isn't going to call it extremely crappy wrestling anymore because Vince is champ now. Thank you very much, Jerry. And RVD hits the frog splash. Umaga grabbed his throat, pulled him up, hit the spike. Cool pick.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels wrestled John Cena. Shawn's music hit, but he was nowhere to be found. And he was attacked backstage. Who did this? Vince said Shawn had to go to the ring anyway.
Yep.
We get World's Greatest Tag Team versus Flair and Carlito. It doesn't really end up happening. Carlito attacked Flair during the match and beat him down. So Carlito was mad.
Now, couldn't you have done this turn in like February and just given them a WrestleMania match?
Yes, you could. You could very easily.
Okay.
Edge is ultimately taken out. Is Randy Orton behind us? Kenny was here. He'll be waiting until Mania 24 to cash in his briefcase.
Good luck.
And Orton was also taken out. So who could possibly be doing this? Mickey and Candice defeated Melina Victoria in a tag team match. And still coached to tell Cena to get to the ring, and whoever's behind all the attacks will come out. He said, someone is out to get them tonight, wants to know who it is, and it's the Great Power.
It is, yeah. I think we talked about it. Yeah. He beat Cena down to end the show. We moved ECW from Birmingham. Lashley's back. He wants a rematch with Vince. Armando comes out and says that Lashley will get his rematch, but on Vince's terms. Until then, Lashley is banned from laying a hand on Umaga, Vince, or Shane. Armando didn't say himself, though, so Lashley beat him down. Elijah Burke is once again the leader of the New Breed because CM Punk betrayed them. Then Punk defeats Kevin Thorne, and Kevin Thorne's mad that no one came and helped him, so he is out of the New Breed. So New Breed's falling apart.
Yep.
ECW originals are not happy that Vince is the champion. We get a debut of the Major Brothers.
Yes.
Also known as Ryder and Hawkins. They defeat Monty Brown and Matt Stryker, so the New Breed's really going through it. Vince yells at the ECW originals, says he'll defend the title against any of them. They have a fatal four-way amongst themselves, and RVD wins, so he will get a title shot against Vince at some point.
Apparently so.
Yeah. SmackDown, also in Birmingham, Boogeyman defeats William Regal. MVP wants another shot at the U.S. title. Teddy Long says he can have it if he can beat Kane tonight. Brian Kendrick defeats Deuce. Matt Hardy defeats Kennedy. Undertaker and Batista have a steel cage match next week to settle their score once and for all.
Yes.
Jimmy Wang Yang defeats Gregory Helms. Batista says next week he'll win the title back. Mark Henry's coming back. Finlay defeats Miz. MVP defeats Kane, so we'll get MVP and Benoit one more time. That was SmackDown. There was nothing really going on.
Nope.
Okay.
We move on to the next week. Entering the top five is Because of You by Neo. That jumped up from 39th to 5th. Buy You a Drink went up from 5 to 4. Give It to Me went down to 2, Girlfriend went down, or sorry, 3, Girlfriend went down to 2, and jumping from 64th all the way to 1st is Makes Me Wonder by Maroon 5.
Yep, yeah, good film.
And then, top 5 movies in America. Number 5, Next, dropped from 3 to 5th. Number 4, The Invisible, which went from 2 to 4. Fracture went up from 4 to 3. Disturbia was finally knocked off from 2 to 1 because making $182 million in its first week was Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, which in hindsight is funny because it's not very good.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
I'm not gonna be here as a Spider-Man 3 trooper. It's entertaining. It's not good. It's kind of falls in line with how most third movies ended up being, which like back in the day wasn't good. Because, like, it's all built to sell merchandise. It's not built to, like, sustain a story like I guess nowadays it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Why the fuck is Topher Grace playing Venom? Why? Why? It's terrible. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's bad. But, hey. It's probably the last of the Mohicans in terms of, you know, the old guard superhero movies, because next year Iron Man comes out and the game changes.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. So we got Raw from State College. Vince is here to open the show. Last week, one man destroyed four superstars. Yes.
Oh,
Bryce gross. Jordan Center.
Oh, gross.
Sorry,
Khalid I was at a Penn State wedding last week, so I have PTSD.
Khali destroyed four superstars in one night. That's never been done before. He's about to bring out Khali, but Sean comes out, demands the number one contender match against Khali. Vince agrees and says it's a no disqualification match. At Judgment Day, it'll be Vince, Shane, and Umaga against Lashley again. Lashley comes out and he can't do anything to Vince, so he beats up Coach. Mickey and Candice defeat Melina and Victoria again. Santino's in action, putting the Intercontinental Championship on the line against Chris Masters, who has a jobber entrance now. Bummer. They explained that Santino had been in the U.S. training to become a wrestler, but was in Italy visiting family and ended up at Raw, which honestly, probably a good explanation. And he gets the win with a roll-up, so he retains his title against established guy Chris Masters. Mr. Kennedy's here. There's only 324 days until he cashes in at WrestleMania, so best of luck to him.
Umaga defeated the Highlanders. Edge is sick of Mr. Kennedy. He cashed him in the bank to a normal person. He waited until his moment. He defended his briefcase too. He's not afraid like Mr. Kennedy, and he said that Kennedy should defend it against him, and he baited it into him by calling him a coward. See, this is a move over the briefcase.
Yep.
It's good. Even though we know in hindsight why it happens. Shawn Michaels faces the Great Khali in a no disqualification number one contenders match. does all he can. Kali gets the upper hand eventually, however, he wins via rough stoppage. Put Sean through the announce tables. So Kali is going to be one to win.
I just, you know, no offense to Kali. He seems like a good guy, but why did none of these top guys ever look and say, you know, that's the guy we're putting over? Maybe we shouldn't do this. I guess Sean was taking time off, but like,
yeah,
you know. Cena does an interview with Todd Grisham. Kali wants some. He can come get some. The Hardys defeat World's Greatest Tag Team and shake hands with Cade and Murdoch this time, so I guess that's done already.
Yep.
Carlito's in the ring with Tori. He has to get back on track, and, you know, that means getting rid of Flair. He also wants nothing to do with Tori anymore, so he yells at her and leaves.
That was necessary.
Yeah. Edge attacks Kennedy before the match, but Kennedy says to ring the bell anyway. Edge spears him and wins the briefcase. So Edge is Mr. Money in the Bank again. Mr. Kennedy might be the most unlucky guy probably in the company in 2007, because I think from what it is, he's not as injured as they originally thought, and he ends up coming back in the summer, so he didn't actually have to lose the briefcase, but then he gets tied up in the steroid stuff, and yeah, it just, and he was supposed to be Vince's son, but that storyline ends up getting dropped because of what happened, and just, they clearly were high on him, and he was good, and then just, you
never
know.
Never recovered. Yeah,
never recovered, and by the time it was over, it was, you know, lots of labels on him that maybe he didn't deserve, but I mean,
plan, he was gonna like face Triple H at WrestleMania and ride like a white horse to the ring and
something ridiculous.
It would have been dumb, but like it sounds cool, I guess.
They would fight for control of the company.
Yeah, basically just exactly, because the whole thing with the limo was Vince was gonna be off TV forever, which I don't believe anyway.
When it came back, the soap operas from back then.
Exactly. We get John Cena and Randy Orton in the main event, but Kali's ringside, you know, some shenanigans are going to go down. 5 minutes in, Cena confronts him, and Kali knocks him out, takes the title, and leaves. That was Raw. ECW, not a lot going on this week. We get Marcus Corbin defeating CM Punk in the opener. Snitsky gets a squash win over Sandman. Elijah Burke defeats Brian Major. And Vince retains the title against Rob Van Dam in a 3-on-1 handicap match. That was ECW. And then finally, on to SmackDown, which we got a very big match. We got the Batista-Undertaker cage match coming. But to open the show, Chris Benoit and Matt Hardy defeat Finlay and MVP in a really fun tag match. Gets everything going. Michelle defeats Jillian. Paul London defeats Domino. So they had both tag champions lose to the former tag champions, which, sure, whatever. Kane defeats Dave Taylor. And then it's time for the cage match. Undertaker and Batista, probably the weakest of their three matches, but obviously, you know, Undertaker's hurt at this point, and it kind of is what it is. And I guess the draw where both of them hit the floor at the same time is a bit of a weak finish, but, like, it makes sense considering what was coming. Mark Henry comes back and starts beating down the Undertaker and hits a bunch of splashes, and then the personnel get Mark Henry out of the ring, and Edge's music hits, comes out with a briefcase.
Yep.
Tries to pin Undertaker a couple times, kicks out, and then gets up and spears him. And Edge is the new World Heavyweight Champion, despite not being on SmackDown, or not even having the briefcase 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
So things are moving fast.
This was such a thrilling cash-in. I remember sitting there, and I was more mouth agape than the first time that he cashed in, because he was switching the brands.
Mm-hmm.
He's going in, doing an on Taker after Mark Henry had just destroyed him. So it was the first one where, like, you know, not only had Taker been through this grueling match, but then he also had someone else come out, beat the living shit out of him, and then Edge capitalized. So, you know, it was really him stamping himself as that ultimate opportunist and finding the opportunity of becoming champion. It was incredible. Of course, the reign isn't lengthy and it isn't great. It does set up a wonderful return a couple months down the road, but it was wonderful for the time being.
Okay. Yeah, we're done. Come on.
Yeah. Edge, your King of the Ring. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We hope you enjoy Night of Champions. We'll keep drugging along in 2007. We got Judgment Day coming up on the horizon. So much fun to get to. We'll keep tracking. We got CM Punk's return coming up. So we know sometime soon. We still haven't talked about Collision. So we'll dive a little bit deeper into that. Money in the Bank's about a month away, so we got plenty of time to chat about who we think is even potentially going to win Money in the Bank. By the way, we know we're entering the month of June. If you think we're talking about that thing that happens in the month of June 2007, we're not. Sorry to burst your bubble. We've done enough of that.
Yeah.
So we'll keep doing wrestling when we come back. You can follow me at Pierce at Cameron Tanto. Rob's at Robin31. Chris is at Chris Novak at BarberShareNet. On Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/barbershare.com. WCNet.com, where you can find us on the website. We'll have a lot of stuff planned coming up for the summer, so stay tuned, man. Thank you guys for joining us. This has been Ruthless Aggression. We'll see you guys later.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.